Hello and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
The magic question I ask every time, and I will never stop asking, how was your past week?
My week's been pretty chill this week. I am in the process of trying to reorganize everything. Like, I'm trying to clean my area up. So I'm almost at the point where I want to throw everything away and just start fresh.
Right. Yeah, that's always a good thing to do. Like, I do that every few months. I go through my stuff and try to donate them or figure out where to trash them, or maybe there's another use I can find for them or something. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, and I don't know when this podcast comes out, because I don't remember. I don't know what our recording schedule is. We record them all weird. I don't know if you want to keep behind the scenes thing, but we're in October. It's a spooky season. And I've realized I love scary movies. I love horror. It's like one of my favorite genres. And I realized, like, I have no spooky or horror like things in my collection. It's mostly just like anime and Power Rangers stuff and board games. So I've been really wanting to add something spooky to my collection.
Weren't you going to get those blacklight things? I feel like that would be spooky.
Yeah, but they're the Marvel like Funko Pops. I mean, I bought a Chucky one, but I don't think it's spooky enough. I feel like, because I've been talking about horror movies a lot, my phone or Instagram has like decided to throw ads in for places like that. And one is this cool t-shirt place. It's called Cavity Colors. They do like horror movie t-shirts. And they do like cool designs and things. And I was thinking about getting a few t-shirts, but I was wondering if I just buy some and frame them, and it would be like kind of artwork, because I love the designs of them.
You might be able to get it from them. Like, I think a lot of times if you just ask or whatever, they'll be like, okay.
Oh, like get a print or like, well, I know I can buy the shirts. I just wonder if there's like a neat way of framing them.
I'm sure you could find online. Like, I know there are ways to frame stuff like that, so I'd be surprised if you can't.
Yeah, and I wonder what size is a good size for framing. Since I won't be wearing the shirt, I could just buy like any size.
Probably a small or medium, though it also, I guess, depends on what size frame you're using, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but that's kind of what I've been up to. Oh, and I've been trying to watch a scary movie every day this month. Some hits, some a lot of misses, though. But that's basically what I've been up to. What about you?
Playing with my Steam Deck, playing a lot of games that I didn't realize were on Steam that I haven't played in, gosh, a long time, almost dating myself a little bit, almost 15, 20 years when I was, like, in high school, middle school. So it's like, yeah, I'm playing a lot of old games that I didn't realize were on Steam, and it's been pretty fun. Hanging out with friends, obviously, that's, you know, my life, I wouldn't say super mundane, but, you know, I tend to live a pretty chill life, especially during the weekends, and then have friends over when I can. But yeah, one thing I am trying to do is clean up more. Like, I'm trying to, before I come visit in a few weeks or whatever, I'm trying to make sure I've got, what's the word I'm looking for? Everything clean, I guess. Before I leave, and then that way, it's one of those things where it's like, I like when you come home to a clean house. Let's put it that one.
Coming home to not like not having to do anything after a vacation is the best.
Yep. Oh, I had a terrible experience. Actually, it was earlier this year. I came home to the vacation and I was like, oh, cool. I'm, you know, it's vacation time. I'm going to be able to or it's end of vacation time. I'm coming home. It's going to be great. Yeah, the world had other plans for me. Cause when I got home, the sewer had backed up. So I had to call a plumber, and it was like already like 9 or 10 at night. So I had to get a 24-hour plumber. And yeah, I was not, let's just say I was not the happiest person that day.
Oh, that doesn't sound, man, that sounds horrible. I'm so sorry for that experience.
It's all right. It happens. I mean, I wish it didn't happen, but yeah, it's one of those things. Oh, I'm so ready to just have an easy night out, and I guess easy, you know, come home, take a quick shower, go to bed, all that stuff. But nope, did not happen.
When you come back, okay. Funny story, but I'm going to ask you a question first. When you come back from a vacation, when do you unpack?
Depends on when I come back, morning versus evening. Because if it's morning, then I'll like unpack most of the stuff so that I can do laundry. If it's in the evening, I'm just like, it can wait till tomorrow.
Okay, so within a day.
Yeah.
Okay, so I usually do that, but I guess on one of my trips, I forgot. Because if I'm staying more than a week or so, I'll bring a check bag and a carry-on. So I had my carry-on, and I ended up filling that with clothes because I was bringing something else on my check bag. Well, I usually don't do that. I usually keep my clothes in my checked. So I guess I forgot about my carry-on. I just threw it in the closet. Uh-huh. So my last trip, I was like, gotta pack my carry-on. And I opened it, and I was like, that's where all the shirts I've been looking for have been. And it did not smell well.
I have not had that happen yet. I have, well, not like a lot of shirts. I've had it happen with maybe a few items where I'm like, oh, I totally forgot. Oh, where was this? Oh, I totally forgot that I had this this item. Or that's where it wound up being. And yeah, I was definitely just sitting there in my suitcase for God knows how long.
Yeah, I just forgot about it. But then I was like, man, I've been looking for this shirt. It's one of those weird shirts that like keeps you cool when it's hot. Uh-huh. And I was like, I thought I threw it away or I donated it. But nope, it was just in my carry-on for a few months.
Well, hey, at least it wasn't gone.
Nope, it was still there. And I was like, I'm going to just throw these in the laundry and like wish, like hope the best. Like nothing was, like there wasn't mold or anything growing. So I was like, I think we're in the good.
Yeah, just throw it in an extra cycle. Or yeah, that's probably what I would do. Just throw it in an extra cycle or throw on an extra rinse or something. As long as it's not moldy, that should take care of everything.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I guess that's what I've been up to. That's my horrible unpacking story and traveling story.
Well, yeah, that's hopefully, I mean, you know, as long as you get home in one piece, like everything else can be dealt with. So it's not terrible, but still stinks.
Oh, man. Okay. Sorry, I keep interrupting you or something. But before we jump into the episode, I don't think you follow Duff Goldman on Instagram. You know who Duff Goldman is, right?
I feel bad for not knowing. If it's like a newer guy, then I don't feel as bad. If it's a guy who's been around forever, then I feel terrible.
He is the Ace of Cakes. I don't know if you ever watched that show on Food Network where he makes the really weird cakes.
I do not.
But well, that's who it is. But he posted some cans of Wolf Chili on his Instagram page the other day, and he said that he was watching a King of the Hill episode where Hank says Wolf Brand Chili, and he was like, I've never had that before, and his wife went and bought him, like, found some Wolf Chili for him to try, and it instantly made me think about the podcast.
I now there's a small part of me that hopes that he heard our podcast after the fact and is now a fan. Like, oh, by the way, I discovered this great podcast that talks about King of the Hill.
Yeah, because we did do the episode where we talked about Wolf Branch.
Yeah, like that's one of the few things in King of the Hill, like one of the few brands that they actually go out of their way to talk about. Like, because they use like the fake brands. Like, not, there's no Walmart, it's Megalomart, and it's Wantaburger, not Whataburger. And we never see like Weber Grill, it's Wagner Grill and stuff. But this time he's like, oh, Wolf Brand Chili, an actual thing that exists in the world.
Yeah, I do wonder if they were like, Mike Joe was like, it has to be Wolf Brand, like, it has to be Wolf Brand Chili. It just has, like, we can't not do that. That's like, that, I didn't even know there were other brands of chili. Are there other brands of chili?
Oh, of course there are.
I don't know that. I don't know if there are. Also, pro tip. If you make your Velveeta cheese dip, have you made the cheese Velveeta cheese dip with the Rotel like diced chilies and tomatoes?
Not in a long time, but I know what you're talking about. Yes.
If you throw a can of Wolf Brand chili in there, it's so good. Like, just mix it in with all the other stuff. It's so delicious. You're never gonna make it the regular way ever again.
All right, now I'm going to have to try. Now you're giving me something else I have to try.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I know about that stuff for now. I mean, we can talk about all of Hank's favorite things and Wolf Brand Chili, but maybe we should also talk about this latest episode where, I don't know, I guess Peggy could have written an article about how to clean Wolf Brand Chili out of your clothes in this one.
I mean, I don't think she would know how to, honestly.
That's true.
But she could still write it. Doesn't kill us all. She doesn't kill us all.
Well, let's get into the episode then before we give away too much. Yes, this episode we'll be talking about Bystand Me, which is season 10, episode 2. And it is one of the few times we see Peggy doing a career that isn't substitute teacher, which I find interesting because I think she's substitute teacher for the most part through all the early seasons. And then in the later seasons, they experiment with her doing other things. And in this case, they have her working at a newspaper. So the episode starts in the alley, and a guy named Harv comes by, and he's driving this just real beater of a car. Like, it's one of those things where you can hear the muffler going off and the back shot and all that stuff. And he's coming by to wish a Merry Christmas in person. And the guys are drinking, and Hank's like, oh, thanks, Harv, but it's April. He's like, yeah, I just wanted to get ahead of it and make sure I got you guys. And it wasn't an impersonal gift. Like, I don't want to just give you a card or something. And they're like, oh, okay. He points out that, like, the newspaper, the Arlen newspaper, now has a new owner, or as he likes to call it, a new bastard. And Dale agrees that he's a bastard. And this is resulting in them losing their job. So Harv was a paper delivery person. But he wants to go and use, like, the old school paper boys, this new person. So, you know, that's why Harv is out there. He's essentially panhandling, more or less, or trying to guilt people into giving him money. So he talks about how, like, yeah, so I don't have a job, but they keep taxing my cigs. And then Hank's like, all right, and just tips him to make him go away because he's just kind of making things awkward. Dale's really happy to hear this news because he's always wanted to have a paper route, but then he's upset because they'll only hire kids. Hank really enjoys it because he's like, hey, this is a good way for Bobby to, like, learn how to throw without him getting scared. And then as Hank walks, you know, Bill, as he always does, has this, like, little saying where he's like, oh, my ex-wife slept with Harv twice. In the living room, Peggy is watching a movie, and she's doing her own DVD commentary. They make this comment about it being like, and this was our $10 million film or something, and then Peggy in her commentary is saying, But it would have been $100 million film had they cast Tom Cruise. And it's funny because she actually has like a tape deck and she's recording into it. Hank walks in and delivers the good news to Bobby. And Bobby's excited because good news is going to be great. But he's like, well, you can make $10 before everyone wakes up. I signed you up to be a paper boy. And Bobby is like, just not thrilled. He's like, I'm not a morning person. And Hank's like, well, too bad. You're being forced to sign up. Peggy is happy to hear because Hank dropped the fact that there's a new owner. And Peggy is like, well, that's great because there's new owner, new leadership. Maybe I can successfully pitch an idea to the newspaper and not get shot down. She's like, also, this could be a great creative outlet. I can stop doing these DVD commentaries that, let's face it, only you will hear. Which is kind of, honestly, to me, that is very unlike Peggy Hill. Because normally, she would, like, totally believe that she is going to be the, like, one day everybody's going to listen to this.
Though I do feel like, because she's moved on already, like, it was that quick of an instant that she's like, I've already got my sights on the next big project. She's like, we're dumping this idea, I'm going to whatever's next. So she's like, she's willing to make fun of herself a little bit. Though I do want to listen to all those commentaries.
That is a good point. Like, how many of those has she made? Was that like a brand new hobby and that was the only one she made? Because she does give Hank the tape deck and says, like, here, now this one is like an original collector's edition, which kind of indicates to me that she hasn't done a ton of them. Because if she has like 30 of them or 50 of them or whatever, I guess you could still say that they're rare, but not in the same way. But if she's only done the one, so maybe that's why she was so quick to give it up, because she was just like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. And I like how she doesn't script them out. She's just like, I'm just going to, like, whatever's on the top of my head.
Stream of consciousness.
Yep.
Yeah, that is exactly how she behaved. Which, of course, I can't really blame her, because she's, I guess that's just how she is. But hey, now she can work at the newspaper. At least she can try. We go to the Arlen Bystander. There's like a line of kids signing up to be a paperboy. Bobby asks Dooley if he's being forced to sign up. And then Dooley, as always, responds in his very monotone, I'm building character voice. I just love Dooley because he always responds like that with just like a monotone voice. Like, he just could care less about anything that's happening. Dale comes up and he has like a backwards baseball cap and one of those razor scooters, and he's trying to pretend to be a kid. It's like that meme, the fellow kids meme that we see with Steve Buscemi trying to pretend to be a kid. So it was very much like that. And his name was like, oh, I'm Sparky Wilson, and my mom just divorced. We're the new kids in town. And Dale's eventually realizing that, like, nobody's buying this. Dale's really upset because he can't do the job, and Bobby kind of picks up on that, and Bobby's like, man, my dad wants me to do this, and I don't want to, and you want to do this, but you can't. And that's kind of when Bobby and Dale, or at least Dale, comes up with a good idea. He's like, hey, I know, how about I just do the route for you? And Bobby's like, you know, that sounds like a good idea, but if my dad sees me in bed in the morning, he's going to know something's up. So Dale's like, well, you can just sleep in the Bugabago, which is what he calls his the van that he uses for Dale's dead bug. And at first, Bobby is reluctant and has no interest. But then Dale's like, fine, there's a whole line of kids here. I'll find somebody else. And then Bobby's like, okay, you have a deal.
Did they ever talk about how the money was going to get split, or is it just like Dale really wants to do this?
I don't think they actually talked about money being split. And I think if anything, most of the money's probably going to go to Dale, because I think Bobby doesn't care. Like, he's, you know, he's not doing any work. He's just getting up. I mean, granted, yes, he's getting up early, but he's actually just doing the whole, I'm going to get up early and fall asleep in the Bugabago while Dale does his thing.
Hmm.
Like, if anything, maybe like 2080. That's like, to me, that would be fair.
I could also see that Dale doesn't want any of the money and that this is something he really just wants to do. Sometimes Dale just wants to do weird things.
That's true. This could very well just be a life goal Dale has and he's fine without making money. I mean, let's be honest, in a lot of ways he's fine about not making money, so I see every now and again paper people going by and delivering paper. I remember when I was younger, especially, there was always a car that would drive by in the morning and they would just chuck the paper out into the fields. Now, like in San Francisco, I don't feel like I've seen it that much. Though I also don't think a lot of people, well, maybe they do. I think nowadays a lot of people don't even get print news, but maybe they do. I don't know. Like I have subscriptions, but it's all purely digital because it's like, I guess there's something nice maybe about actually holding a physical newspaper, but at the same time, it's like, now I have to recycle it and they're killing trees. Mm-hmm. Like I could just do it all digitally.
When I was a kid, I mean, this is going to date me, but when I was a kid, I used to love opening a newspaper and looking at like the dogs, like people who had puppies for sale or like dogs. Mm-hmm. And I guess, is that the classifieds? Is that called the classifieds as well?
Yeah, I think like anything that's for sale by the general public is considered like the classifieds.
Yeah, I used to always, like that was my favorite thing because we didn't get a dog, but I liked imagining what dog I would get through these things. And if there was like a free one, I'd be like, Mom, Dad, here's like a free dog. That never worked, but I did get a dog, listeners, eventually when I grew up and had my own place and my own money. I did get myself a dog.
Same here. Didn't get one until I was an adult.
Which I think is better because like, I'm more responsible. You know, I know and dogs are expensive, everyone. Just FYI.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a free dog. You're going to, you know, maybe the acquisition of the dog is free, but you are going to be paying for them for a long time.
Yes. Hopefully they live a very long time. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's definitely worth having them. But, you know, be prepared. Be prepared for that when you're going to get a dog, that you're going to have to take care of them. And yes, they're going to cost money.
But I did enjoy reading a newspaper when I was a kid.
I read the comics. That's about it. Every Sunday.
Kathy. Kathy
Foxtrot, Zips, Garfield, Peanuts, all that stuff. Yep.
Yes.
So we're back in the kitchen. Peggy is wearing what she calls her lucky shirt. She figures like, oh yeah, you know, this is going to bring me good mojo, and I'm going to get that job because I've got a meeting with the editor today, the editor in chief. And you know, Hank's sitting there reading the paper, and he's really happy because he's like, it's kind of this circle of life thing. He's like, oh, this is gonna be so great because you'll write the paper, Bobby will deliver it, and then Lady Bird will bring it in. So yeah, it's pretty funny. So we cut over to the Soup and Noofs and Phones place, and you know, Min and Con are getting ready to do the New York Times crossword puzzle. This is pretty much their thing, it seems like, though we never really see it in any other episode. They hear Peggy yell all of a sudden, you know, like an, oh crap, or kind of thing. Min steps outside to ask Peggy to be quiet. And she's like, oh, I spilled coffee on my shirt and I got the big interview there. And she's like, well, big deal. Just remove the stain. And she's like, if I knew how to remove coffee from silk, I would. And so Min's like, oh, you know, a housewife who can't clean. I wonder why Hank keeps you around. And she's just like, you're not helping. And Min's like, just soak the stain in lime juice and dab. And Peggy's like, I don't have time for this. Let me just wear my funeral shirt. She goes to the bystander. And we see her in her funeral shirt. Like, it's obviously not dress wear, like what you would wear in an office or anything. It's black, and it's a little more decorative. Like, it has these very puffy arms and stuff, but I guess it doesn't really matter. Like, the guy doesn't care. Editor-in-chief is happy to see that she didn't go to J school, journalism school, to the rest of us. And he's like, that's great, because, you know, I want somebody who has, like, a homespun wisdom from living life and stuff. So they want Peggy to do a helpful hints column, not really in the vein that she wanted. Like, she was hoping, like, oh, helpful hints, like, you know, what movies to see or what restaurants to check out. But no, it was more like how to clean things. And, you know, Peggy is not thrilled. You can kind of tell she's not thrilled, but it's also going to get her into the newspaper, which is her ultimate goal. So she's like, oh, well, would you believe me that this shirt had a huge coffee stain earlier today? But then I remember what my pappy once told me, soak it in lime juice. And so she winds up getting hired. And it's funny because the guy's like, oh, hey, do you know how to get newspaper ink out of a white shirt? And Peggy is like, she doesn't want to give him any advice because she doesn't have any advice. She's just like, oh, yeah, but you're going to have to read the paper tomorrow to find out.
I just feel like that's a great Peggy like line that, you know, you have to figure it out tomorrow. So I don't know. I don't know. I just enjoy that. My pappy. Ah, what a great Peggy is. And I love how Peggy has like a, this is my stepping stone. Sometimes I really admire that about Peggy. Like, this is my stepping stone to something bigger.
Yeah, I will agree that that is a good quality, that she's like, I don't need to start at the top. I will, as long as I can get a foot in the door, I will make my way up to the top. Granted, the whole her lying about having this knowledge is not great, but still.
I mean, I don't, well, yeah, she is lying about the knowledge, but she will obtain some, right? Hopefully.
Yes. Yes. We actually see her go back home and she goes to Min because she's like, oh, you know, that cleaning idea you gave me was so great. Do you happen to have any others? And Min says, oh yeah, she gets plenty of ideas from Laoma, her mother-in-law, which is interesting considering the past episode, because Peggy doesn't seem to indicate in any way that she has ever met or heard of Laoma before, even though we know for a fact that there was a whole episode with her in there. But anyway, I guess one of those stupid continuity things with the later seasons. But Min starts to read that Peggy is super desperate. Like, why is she wanting all these tips? And Peggy's like, you know, oh, I need to, I just really need those tips because I have this job writing in the column. And Min's not interested because she's kind of like, you know, a tit for tat type of thing. Like, well, what are you going to give me? And she asks for a specific word from the crossword puzzle. And Peggy kind of has an aha moment where she's like, oh, you know, we actually get the crossword answers a day in advance. So I could actually help you by giving you the answers ahead of time. And at first, Min was kind of against it because she's like, oh, it means I'm going to have to talk to my mother-in-law more often. But then she hears Khan in the background, you know, calling and whatnot. Apparently, they don't just do the crossword puzzle together. It's actually competitive. So she's like, okay, I'll do it so I can be Khan, but I also want the Sunday answers and the weather.
I love how the weather's so extra.
Yeah.
Let me tag that on.
Now, those Sunday crossword puzzles are no joke, the New York Times puzzle, so I could see her wanting that. I mean, of course, she'll have to memorize some of it because I'll be suspicious since they do the crossword together in the same room if she just happened to have a sheet of paper lying around with the answers.
True. Man, I haven't done a crossword in forever.
I do them every single day. I do the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh, interesting. How hard is it?
It gets harder throughout the week. So the Monday one is the easiest, like the most basic. And then as the days progress to Saturday, Saturday is definitely the hardest in terms of the clues. Sunday is harder, but largely because it's about twice the size, if not three times the size. But some of the clues are easy, some of them are hard, some of them are in between, so you kind of got a range there. So it's hard in its own way, but yeah, it just really depends. So it starts, so from Monday to Saturday, they get harder.
I might try Mondays then. We'll see. I'll let you know how I do.
Yeah, usually the Monday one, I can knock out in 9 minutes or so. And then it gets longer on throughout the week. Oh, we're going back to the paper route. So I don't know why this is what's happening, because clearly they're got to have more paper boys than just Bobby. I don't know why they're arranging this meetup here. But Bobby's just like, you know, at the crack of dawn at the get in, get out, which is like their, you know, smash and grab convenience store over there. And the guy comes and drops off the paper, drives away. Few seconds pass, Dale comes, picks up Bobby. He's like, hey, if you want, you can move that bag of rats and use it as a pillow. And so Bobby just goes to sleep, and Dale starts to throw the papers like really, really badly. Like some barely make it out of his car. One actually just like flies back into his face, and he swerves and hits the curb. It's just Dale's not made for this job. Back at the bystander, Peggy turns in her first paper, and she meets some of the other people, Bob Jenkins being one of them. And, you know, he's kind of giving her the business, if you will. And, you know, he's like, oh, you know, if he talks about how he took he talks about how in the past the editor took the paper into the bathroom. And, you know, that could or could not be a good sign. If he comes out and he's happy, or if he's holding it, then that means that he liked the paper. And he's like, but, you know, he could be a tough guy. Like, that's how I lost my eye. So he actually has an eye patch. And he's like, you know, he threw a paper at me and I caught it staple. But then another employee comes up and he's like, oh, no, he actually had a brain tumor and they had to remove his eye to get to it. Which I kind of like the staple answer better, but okay. But he comes out of the bathroom holding the column, so it's good news. And Bob Jenkins, our one-eyed, you know, kind of guy giving her the business, is like, hey, yeah, let's all take you out. New person drinks. So they go to this bar called the Lifeboat. And I get the idea that this is like a normal hangout for media people, because they get there and they see the Channel 84 news crew there. And they're just hanging out and drinking. So they kind of make barbs at each other. So they're like, oh, let's see if you can order a drink without a teleprompter. It's like, oh, I bet your users can't wait to read about yesterday's news tomorrow. And they kind of go back and forth. Nancy is there because, you know, she's the weather girl. I think at this point she's actually an anchor, because I know she makes a few transitions throughout the series. Either way, she still works at Channel 84. Peggy is like, yeah, I don't know that I could keep up with them. Can you make a barb at me that I can retort to? And Nancy's like, sure. And she's like, oh, congratulations on the new job, Peggy. I'm sure all six bystander readers will love your column. And then instead of like doing a verbal attack or whatever, Peggy just splashes a drink in Nancy's face and says, take that, you bleached out tramp. And like everybody's kind of aghast, but then they're like, wow, she has some cojones on her. So they're kind of smiling, and then she just whispers, thank you to Nancy.
I do feel like, yes, Nancy was probably taken aback, but I don't know if we see in the future. I don't know when all the episodes kind of happen whenever to me now that I've just watched the season, but we do see later that like Nancy is a cutthroat person.
Yes.
So I feel like a part of her could, like, appreciate this power move from Peggy.
Yeah, I guess so. But it also feels like she's not playing by the rules, because it's supposed to be, like, verbal jabs at each other. And then here she's like, oh, I can't jab at you verbally or intellectually, so I'm just going to do this. I mean, her crew seemed to like it, so whatever. But still, I feel like Nancy would be upset, because it's like, oh, you're not... like cutthroat, but you're not playing the game. You're not playing by the rules.
I don't think Peggy even understood the rules.
Maybe. there's a good chance that's the case. She didn't really understand the rules, or she thought, you know, oh, if I can like really go all out on this, then that will wow them.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't think. I think Peggy was like, we're just taking jabs at each other. Like, oh, we're just making fun of each other. Like, saying mean things. She's yep. like, I got to take this up a notch.
Yeah, that could very well be it. We see back at the gas station, Harv is paying for cigarettes with pennies, and because he's like literally counting them out. And he's not even paying for like a pack of cigarettes. He's like buying a loose cigarette. And then he gives them like 2 cents for the state of taxes. They see Bobby. Bobby is like stopped to get coffee or whatever. And he notices that Bobby is like one of the paper boys. So he yells, "Scab." And apparently that's where all the ex-papermen just hang out at this gas station. So they all see him and they chase after him. And he runs and tries to jump into Gribble's truck, but then Gribble drives away. And he continues to run. He's eventually able to catch up. And I guess Harv's smoking has caught up with him because he's barely able to run without wheezing. Dale it drives on the lawn to actually deliver a paper because he gets up to the house and he's like... There's no way I'm, you know, he's thinking to himself, there's no way I'm going to be able to throw it to the front porch. So he literally drives on the lawn, leaving the tracks, and just throws the paper on there, and then he drives back. Bobby wakes up, and he's like, what time is it? He's like, oh, it's 10:30 a.m., and he's like, what? I needed to be at school at 8:30. I missed my science test. Wait, why do we have extra papers? And Dale's like, I don't know. I'm tired. And he's like, my name's on the route. We need to deliver these papers. And Dale's like, all right, geez, Hank. Back to the alley, Peggy and Min kind of do this, like, handoff over the fence in, like, envelopes with the hints and the answers. We cut back to Hank and the guys drinking the alley, and Hank's saying, like, oh, boy, you know, I think this paper route's good for Bobby. I think his throwing arm's actually growing. And Boomhauer's like, you know, he kind of throws a wet blanket on it all. He's like, you know, that's cool and everything, but he is... You know, he's not a great thrower. Like, his paper, in his Boomhauer way, obviously, he's like, my paper was on the roof. And then Bill's like, yeah, my paper was on Boomhauer's roof, too. And Hank's like, huh, I guess I'll have to work with Bobby on his aim. And then Dale gets angry. And he's like, it's not easy being a paper boy, guys. And he pulls out a second cigarette to smoke. We go to Luli's, which, you know, earlier we're talking about the Wolf brand chili and stuff. For those of you who don't know Texas, and we maybe mentioned it earlier, but Luli's is a parody of Luby's, which is an actual cafeteria in Texas. I don't know if they still exist anymore because I feel like I read that they went out of business during COVID, but maybe they still exist. I'm not sure.
There is one. I pass it on my way to work every day.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Maybe they got bought out and somebody saved them. I think, you know, just as a side note, was Luby's a big thing for you? Like, I have not had Luby's in easily 10 plus years, if not longer. But I remember when I was a kid, that was like our Thanksgiving because they were always open on Thanksgiving.
I've only eaten there once in my life. But I've had people really? Be like, let's go to Luby's. So... I think it's interesting. It's like you said, it is a cafeteria. You walk down with your tray and you kind of pick and choose what you want. And then they check you out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very country, like when you go there, too. It's like very southern-y food, Texan food, all that stuff. It was never really my favorite, but it's not bad. I mean, I guess I have fond memories of it. But like I said, I have not eaten there in easily over 10 years. But yeah, so they, being the Hill family, are at Luli's. And Hank points out that, you know, he's been getting a lot of complaints about Bobby's throwing accuracy. And he's like, you know, you're right-handed, right? And Bobby's like, I'll work on it. A fan comes by and recognizes Peggy from her articles. I guess she sees her picture. And, you know, she's super happy. He's like, oh, I love your articles. You've saved my marriage. You know, your whole idea of using seaweed to remove the oil stains from the driveway just really worked. And Peggy's like, oh, well, thank you. And then Hank's like, yeah, I wonder where you got that idea. I've never even heard of that before. And Peggy deflects by saying, Hank, I want to talk about our marriage, which immediately shuts him up. We go and see Min, and Min is talking on the phone with Laoma, and you can kind of only hear one end of the conversation, but Min's like, oh, yes, yes, oh, yeah, there's nothing that's too good for your con. Yeah, do you know I can remove a lipstick stain from the shirt? While she's talking, Peggy hands her the answer. And then I'm guessing Laoma just insults her, and you hear Min say, like, oh, no, what do you mean my lipstick reminds you of a Bangkok circus clown? And they just start to escalate it. And then before Min hangs up, she's like, oh, and that couch you sleep on, it's a pullout, slams. And she's like, well, no more tips. And then Peggy's like, well, what am I supposed to do with my column? And she's like, I don't know. Maybe you can write something about turning corn cobs into pipes. Because Min, I like how Min constantly looks down on Peggy, even though they're like pretty much in the same, like they live in the same neighborhood. They're next door neighbors. It's not like she's super rich or anything.
I mean, they are pretty country though.
Yeah.
The Hill family.
I guess, but it's like, what do you expect? You move to small town Texas. It's not like Arlen is Houston or something, you know, with the big culture stuff. It's a very small town. I don't know if I go say rural, but it's definitely a small town. So you're not going to get the same culture. And they mentioned that they moved from Orange County, I think, either Orange County or Anaheim. So California. So it's like,
I mean, there is a high Laotian population in Arlen, though.
That's true. That's true. There is an unusually high Laotian population there.
So maybe they're just like, this is the only thing we could get for right now.
Maybe.
So
at the bystander, Peggy's sitting at her computer just kind of staring at the blank screen. Bob Jenkins comes up and is like, oh, blank screen, that's a sign of writer's block. That's like the worst thing for a writer. And one of the guys is like, you know, when I get writer's block, I drink 5 cups of coffee and eat 5 candy bars. And then Bob Jenkins is like, when I have writer's block, I just hire a prostitute, which I feel like Bob Jenkins is like, what is his name? Buck Strickland 2.0. But anyway, at the Hills house, Hank comes out and, you know, he's going to grab the paper and he sees that it's not there on the curb. And he notices that Dale's driven onto the curb and he's like, well, what's going on? Dale's obviously fallen asleep and Hank checks up on him. But then he sees that Bobby is asleep in the back of the van. And then Dale like tries to pretend like, oh, this is nothing. Like, oh, I just happened to run into Bobby at the end of his route. And I decided to give him a ride. And, you know, Hank's not falling for it. And Dale's like, he made me do it. And Bobby literally throws a rat at Dale for ratting him out. Of course, Hank's like, both of you out of the van. We go to Peggy and we see that she's in the kitchen. She just literally like put every cleaning agent that she could find in the house on the table and just thinking like, come on, something good. Come to me. Come to me. She's just staring. And then she finally gets an idea. She's like, yes, this is going to work. We cut over to the bedroom. They're getting ready to go to bed. And Hank's just like, I'm not even sure how to punish Bobby for this one. And Peggy tries to change the subject just to like something happier. It's like, oh, well, I came up with an amazing idea for the cleaning that you're going to love. And she's like, I told my readers to harness the cleaning power of ammonia with the whitening power of bleach. And then Hank's like, you told them to mix ammonia and bleach? That's a recipe for mustard gas. Oh, that's like one of my favorite. And like, it's become a running joke, not at my new job, but at my previous job. I'd always joke because I worked from home at my previous job before it was cool. And I was always like, I would always joke like, oh guys, I had like a break between meetings. So I decided to do some cleaning and I decided to use some ammonia and bleach. And now I'm feeling really dizzy.
I never knew that those things did that until I watched this episode. But what was it? I did in high school, my chemistry teacher, I guess a side funny story is that one day we were doing experiments and then he kind of like ran out of the classroom. And then he came back and he was like, "Oh, I thought I smelled mustard gas, but it was something else from another room." And then we were all like, "Wait, you just left us in here?"
It's just like, I was just going to save myself, but you guys are fine. So
yeah, but
maybe he was just in a every man for himself thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, was it fight or flight?
Yep. Maybe he just had the mindset of like survival instincts. You see a guy running out of a room, you need to follow him.
I mean, to be honest, it was AP chemistry. So he was like, he's like, these are the smart ones. They should be able to escape.
Maybe. Maybe that's what he thought.
Yeah. But, well, I don't know. Do you think people would have done this? I mean, I guess if I was a cleaning, like reading her article and I didn't know beforehand, I might have.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess there are people who do know that you're not supposed to do that, obviously. But I'm guessing there's pretty possibly people who've just never heard of it and just thought, well, why not? Why not mixed ammonia and bleach?
Yeah.
So Hank runs into Bobby's room, wakes him up, and Bobby at first is like concerned. And it's like, oh, man, I'm in trouble because I didn't wake up in time. And Hank's like, don't worry. You're not in trouble. It's your mom's fault this time. They're in the truck and they're driving to the processing plant where they do all the print all the papers so that they can stop it. And, you know, Peggy's like, are you absolutely sure it's mustard gas? He's like, positive. My dad used to make a batch of it for BJ Day, which totally sounds like something Cotton would do. And she's like, oh, I can't believe I told him to do this. I am going to be a laughingstock. And Hank's like, well, it might not be anyone to laugh at this if we're not fast enough. And Peggy's like, really? He's like, oh, wait, yeah. They get to the plant and they realize they're too late. First, they get to the wrong plant. Apparently, there's a completely separate plant for putting in the like the advertisement inserts into the paper. And they're like, oh, you have to go to the printing plant across town, but they're already done printing and they're getting ready to deliver. And like, oh, no, it's too late. We're going to have a lot of people dead. And Bobby's like, I got an idea. They go to the gas station. They see Harv and all of his friends together. And they're literally like sharing cigarettes, like cutting a cigarette in half. So I kind of feel, I don't know who's the lucky one in that one. The guy who gets the filter or the guy who doesn't. Because I feel like I'm not a smoker, but I feel like if you're the one who gets the filter, you're not getting a lot of cigarette. But the other person is getting too much cigarette.
I don't know. I guess should you just like pass it back and forth? I don't know. I'm not a smoker. I don't know these things.
Yeah. Hank tries to ask them to help him out and help them pick up all the papers. And they're like, nah, we're not in the paper game anymore. We're in the restaurant flyer delivery business. And then Hank's like trying to give a rousing speech to inspire them. It's like, dang it, guys, and possibly ma'am over there. You know, you guys are important part of it, you know, delivering papers, and the city needs you now. And they're not interested. And Bobby tries it too. And he's like, guys, I saw things that I never thought I'd see before. Sunrise, morning dew, snails on the sidewalk. These are things I never want to see again. So he's pretty much trying to give the job back to them. They're still not interested. But then Peggy's like, hey, you guys can keep whatever the paper is worth at the recycling center. And then now the guys are like, let's get a move on. They are all successful in collecting all the papers and they turn them in and they get 18 bucks for 6 tons of newspaper, but they're all happy. Hank, Dale, Bobby, and Peggy decide to go celebrate. And Hanky's like, oh, let's go. Hank's like, oh, let's all go to the Waffle House, but Peggy's like, oh, I owe my readers one last column. We cut over to the bystander, and the editor comes in, and he's like, Peggy, have you seen the bystander? And Peggy's like, no. No one's seen it. Man, he thinks that it's like Channel 84 who's trying to get back at them and stole all the papers. And Peggy admits that it was she who stole it, and you know, she essentially kind of comes clean. And in the article she wrote, she talks about how she didn't care about where she got her facts, and then as soon as she ran out of ideas, she accidentally wrote a bad one, and you know, she's resigning. And the editor's like, you know, have you ever heard of the New York Times? And Peggy's like, apparently they have a tough crossword puzzle. It's like, the New York Times doesn't get all their facts straight all the time. That's why we have a fact checker. In fact, I may have to let her go for this whole ammonia bleach thing. But, you know, you have a nice, friendly style, which is worth more than facts. So Peggy's like, oh, I can go back to writing. It's like, for a helpful hints column, no. But you can help me create headlines for these pictures. And he gets her a bunch of pictures, and she comes up with these different headlines. And apparently, I guess she found her, like, calling at the newspaper, and the episode ends.
I kind of want that job, to just caption pictures.
I feel like I wouldn't be... I don't know. How many pictures go into a newspaper? It's been a while since I've actually counted. Like, would that actually be a paying gig? Or would they just, like, have her as a contractor and give her, like, $10 per headline or something?
I also don't remember pictures having, like, interesting captions. Most of them were like, this is from article blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So,
maybe that was just like a test. Like they want her to do other things, like maybe also jazz up the articles or something. And maybe that was just like his test to see her skill.
Do writers write the headlines or do like someone else write the headlines?
You are asking the wrong person. I have no idea how it goes inside of a newspaper.
Because then maybe Peggy can write the headlines.
Maybe.
That's a pretty big job, though. I mean, that's... I think this is the natural progression for Peggy from substitute teacher to journalist.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. That definitely would be a Peggy thing. It's funny she's not... Ah, funny. It would be funny if, like, she were hired to work not for the Arlen Bystander, but if she were, like, to work for the local Spanish newspaper or something.
It would never happen.
It would just be funny.
She would not turn that job down. She'd be like, yes, I know enough Spanish to do this.
Yeah. Like, she would never get hired, at least not by an actual Spanish newspaper. I could see, like, maybe the Arlen Bystander hiring her to do the Spanish, but then she's not good at it or anything. But, like, first of all, I feel like a Spanish newspaper would actually have people who could speak Spanish for starters. And then I don't think that would happen. But it would be a funny like arc if that's what wound up happening, and then she just wound up writing like all the wrong articles.
Not to get dark though, should we check on that fact checker? What if they made the ammonium bleach combo?
That's true. They actually read it. They should check on them.
Interesting, but yeah. Now that I didn't think about it until I'm like reading it, you know, it's hitting me different. Oh, that poor fact checker. Yeah, we need to get someone out there.
I wonder how deadly it is. Like, granted, I'm not going to experiment. I don't really care enough to try, but I do legit kind of wonder, like, oh, how much would I have to take in order for it to, like, kill me? Like, is it like enough to where it would just knock you down?
I don't know. Also, what is Cotton doing with all the mustard gas he's making?
Yeah, that's another good point. Like, if he's mixing it up, what is he doing? Like, because mustard gas, it's not, you don't drink it. Like, that's not what makes it deadly. It's inhaling it. So if he's, and Cotton just doesn't come across as the type of person who's super careful about stuff like this, so.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I just don't, I could be wrong, but I don't imagine him, like, take, you know, wearing a hazmat suit and taking precautions and making sure that, you know, his wife and his kid are safe or anything, but I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a whole backstory that Hank just kind of yada yada'd over.
I mean, maybe he's blocking it, that part of his childhood out.
Yeah, maybe it was terrible for him, and that's what he's trying to push out of his brain. Maybe it caused brain damage, and he can't remember what happened.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, Peggy gets to be at a newspaper, which I guess is something. You know, she's never really indicated wanting to work for a newspaper up to this point, but clearly, I guess a little bit she did, because there are those episodes earlier in the season where she writes the musings column, and then there's, like, when they cancel the column, she actually, like, buys ad space so that she can have the musings on there again, so she buys ad space just to put the musings on. I guess her idea was like, oh, well, if people start seeing the musings, they're going to want it again, and then they're going to ask the newspaper to keep it, and then there you go. I'll be hired again. But so I guess she does like working for the newspaper, but other than that, you never really hear much about it. But, you know, I guess it worked out for her in the end.
Yeah, I do figure she was like, I conquered substitute teaching. This is what, you know, I need another challenge.
Yeah, that could very well be it. Also, I just think she, you know, wants to try something different. My guess is she's probably hasn't done much substitute teaching for a while. I think towards those later episodes and those later seasons, I would have to rewatch again, but nothing's coming to mind of her actually substitute teaching in the later seasons. So, and I think like what, I mean, maybe they just got tired of having her around. Maybe they got other substitute teachers. I always feel like there was a scarcity of substitute teachers in Arlen, and that's why they always hired her, not necessarily because she was super high quality.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey, now she's a newspaper writer or a column writer. She's doing something at the paper, writing snappy headlines. Who knows? But we'll get to see more of her in future episodes or doing newspaper stuff and other careers, which we won't really dive into right now because we don't want to discourage you from watching more episodes. Actually, not this next time. This next episode, we're going to do Get Your Freak Off. But after that, we're going to be doing Peggy's Headache, which is actually the episode where she gets the column for musings. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, I don't think we planned it that way, but it just kind of worked out. So,
yeah.
But join us next time for Get Your Freak Off, which is a Bobby and Hank's heavy episode. And we get to see exactly how much of a square Hank is. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.